If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free.
Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University, Chicago.
Indeed, the quest for truth is at the core of a university's purpose. The liberal arts, illuminated by the revealed truths of Scripture, are powerful for equipping students for a life of self-governance. A disciple is one who follows the master. So what does it mean to follow Jesus? He said that it means to take up one's cross. The cross is thus the symbol of dying for others, of dying to self for the sake of serving others. And a life of service is a life well lived.
Truth, freedom, vocation. Concordia University, Chicago. CUChicago.edu.
Well, Saturday night at 8 o'clock, I know where I'm gonna go. I'm gonna pick my baby up and take her to the picture show. Everybody in the neighborhood.
It certainly had favorable press. It certainly had Rotten Tomatoes on its side. Critics seem to have loved it, if that's any indication. But when it actually made it into the 3,000-plus theaters, this movie, billed as a gay rom-com, Bros, well, it flopped. It made $4 million in the first weekend. That's a lot of money, but it cost $22 million to make, and then it made about another $1.5 million the next weekend. And it's quickly falling from the top 10 earners. So why did it fail? And what was it about? And why, when it was clear that people weren't watching this movie, did its star and its writer start insulting the potential audience? Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Joining us to talk about the movie Bros, Pastor Ted Geese. He has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He's pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada. And he teaches a course from Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. Ted, welcome back.
Thanks, Todd.
So, Ted, this is probably a one-off for you. We're going to be talking about this movie, and you didn't want to see this movie. You did not see this movie. Why?
No, I didn't see this movie. And so this is the full disclaimer that what we're going to do is we're going to look at the trailer and we'll talk about the trailer. So this is like a trailer review. And then also to talk about some things swirling around this film and some of the, you know, pertinent details and information that I think will be interesting to hopefully to the listeners, dear listeners. This is the disclaimer. I did not watch this movie. And the other thing is that there's a little apology here too. I need to apologize to Hans Feeney. So years ago, there was this movie called Exodus Gods and Kings, and he wrote a review of it for The Federalist. It was from 2014. It's a movie by Ridley Scott. He wrote a review for it, but he didn't actually see the movie. And I gave him the gears about it. So here we are. We're going to talk about the movie, but again, I didn't see it. So Hans, my apologies, but I want to make sure everybody knows that this is not the full-on review that we normally would have here on Issues Etc.
There are various versions of this trailer. I think you chose the cleaner version of this trailer.
Yes,
because
yes.
This is in the United States, NC-17, which is a step up from an R rating. So let's listen to the cleaned-up, sanitized version of the trailer for Bros.
Hey guys, it's Bobby Lieber coming to you from the future home of the LGBTQ+ Museum. Everyone is really excited and totally getting along.
This happens to be Bisexual Awareness Week, and no one has acknowledged it.
Lesbian History Month was in March. Nobody said a thing.
Of course, lesbians get a month and we get a week.
So what's happening? Didn't you guys have an announcement?
This is a little unexpected, but we are in a throuple situation. Yeah.
You're in a throuple? Let me tell you what's progressive now. Being alone.
I love my life. I love my freedom. I love my independence.
That's kind of sad.
That I don't want to be in a throuple? I don't even want to be in a couple.
Bobby, I had sex with that 65-year-old.
He's ripped.
I know. It's like they injected steroids into Dumbledore. Oh, that's Aaron. He's very hot.
Gay guys are so stupid.
I know. But we've been smart enough to brand ourselves as being smart.
It's our little secret.
met a guy?
I don't think I'm his type. He's like gay Tom Brady.
What are you into? One of these ripped idiots with no opinions?
No, I'd like someone who's physically very frail and won't stop talking.
And I bet he's as intimidated by you as you are by him.
I'm down for whatever.
Yeah, I can do whenever and I can do whatever.
Cool. Whatever, whenever. GIF of Michael Scott dancing.
Office GIF? This person isn't gay.
I need you to be honest with me.
You like these bro-y meathead idiots.
Oh, look, they're fighting.
You like that?
Hey.
I can be tough like your boys. Like that? Oh, that's what you like, huh?
Hey, what's going on?
Oh, that's cool.
My bad.
Happy Pride.
Happy Pride.
Now I have to go to a Pride party and you're both too old to be in the pool. Please leave.
People are threatening to boycott the museum.
You can't say Lincoln was gay.
If we don't do this, we're letting the heterosexual terrorists win.
There are trans terrorists too. Caitlyn Jenner.
You are so different from me.
You're very intense.
I like to keep things chill.
I can be chill.
Just like a manly man.
Sup?
I got you.
Yeah, you're gonna need some help.
Hey, I'm gonna need some help here, bro.
What is going on with you?
My whole life, I've prided myself on being self-reliant, but this guy has gone into my head.
Maybe you're both bottoms and that's the problem.
Bottom day.
Gay sex was more fun when straight people were uncomfortable with it.
Do you guys remember straight people?
Yeah, they had a nice run.
That is the trailer for Bros. So what's your initial reaction to, and that's rather lengthy, 3-minute representation of this box office flop?
Yeah, it gives you an idea of what this film is going to be about. Clearly, it falls into this category of romantic comedy, I guess. This is the a general idea. And we cleaned it up for like F-bombs and violations of the Second Commandment through that. Like you said, that's the more modest trailer. There's ones that have, much more questionable content in it as well. So in preparation for today, I looked up the top 100 romantic comedies. Todd, you've seen some romantic comedies along the way, I'm sure. Guys generally are not rushing out to see romantic comedies. This is something that guys do with their girlfriend or maybe with their wife. They go and check out a movie like this, like in the romantic comedy genre. So I looked it up and I'll just give out of the top 15 romantic comedy, highest grossing ones, right? These are the ones that I've seen. And granted, I watch a lot of movies. At 15, it's Sweet Home Alabama. And then 14 is Coming to America. And then 13 is Silver Linings Playbook. And 12 is Bringing Down the House. And 11 is As Good as It Gets. So I saw all of those. I didn't see Knocked Up, which is number 10. Runaway Bride, number 9, I saw that one. Sex and the City, number 8, I did not see. The Proposal, I did not see. Number 6, Crazy Rich Asians. I saw that one. In fact, we did a review of that film. There's Something About Mary, number 5. Pretty Woman, I saw that one. I saw Pretty Woman as well. Hitch, I saw. The number 2 one is What Women Want. I did not see that. And then the number 1 highest grossing romantic comedy of all time is My Big Fat Greek Wedding, which is a really good movie all by itself, even, you know, just as a movie. So anyways, just looking at that, and there's all sorts of other romantic comedies. I probably saw, out of these 100 films, I probably saw at least 3/4 of them along the way. But again, I like movies, so romantic comedies are going to be in there too. But one thing that you're going to notice is that the main audience probably for romantic comedies is women. And statistically, when you look at North America and the whole world, also the majority of people are straight. They are, you know, what the super left, far progressive woke crowd will call cisgendered, right? That's your main audience. So this is definitely a film that's probably not going to necessarily appeal to that audience. But if you're in a kind of like a real insulated bubble within Hollywood and you're believing your own press, maybe you think that this is going to be a home run hit. Right? Now, there have been lots of films that delve into the kind of even comedic films that delve into the whole LGBTQ related thing, like, and going back many, many years, they tend to be art house films or independent films. They don't have a $22 million budget like this film had. Studios don't tend to spend reportedly either between 30 and 40 million additional dollars on the advertising, which is the case for this particular movie, Bros. So this is kind of like all in from the studios. They think that now's the time for this kind of movie. But I think this is a case where the failure is deserved and it's like overplaying its hand. Because did you notice a couple things in that trailer that might be hostile to your average straight woman or couple that might go see a romantic comedy? Were there any things that jumped out at you in that trailer that would be hostile towards your central main audience?
Well, I did notice the line about how straights had a good run, as though somehow now everyone's gay. Although it's some days it does seem like that.
Yeah, and you know, like if you're having a trailer, by the way, here's the thing. If it's a comedy trailer, you want to have your last joke be funny, like where people are going to laugh, and maybe not one where you're picking a fight with your potential audience, right? Or denigrating it, at the very least, like making little of your potential audience. The other thing in there was talking about heterosexual terrorists, right? Like that's another thing. Like the trailer for the movie is calling heterosexuals terrorists and saying that our day is over. And yet you want that audience to come out in droves to sit down in the theater and watch the film. That could be a potential problem.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We're talking about the movie Bros. When we come back, the writer and star of this film was already insulting his potential audience even before it came out and has continued since it's flopped. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod needs faithful Lutheran laymen, commissioned ministers, and pastors to serve on its boards, commissions, and agencies. Nominations are open for the Boards of Regents at our Concordia Universities and Seminaries, the LCMS Board of Directors, the Office of National and International Mission, the Lutheran Church Extension Fund, Concordia Publishing House, and the Commission on Theology and Church Relations. Learn more at issuesetc.org/nominations. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod needs you. issuesetc.org/nominations.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
If you're looking for a good Lutheran church in Scarsdale, New York, one that has sound teaching based on the Word of God and takes pride in the confessions, look no further than Trinity Lutheran Church in Scarsdale, New York, where every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. we have Bible study and Sunday school, followed by the service at 10. Again, good liturgical confessional worship by the grace of God. Find us at trinityscarsdale.org.
Logia Journal, the Confessional Dogmatic Series. The works of Kurt Marquardt and many other resources are all brought to you by Luther Academy. Did you know that during this time of COVID-19, your purchases and donations help Luther Academy supply these same resources to pastors around the world? Please consider helping us with this important need through your prayers and financial support. Learn how you can help by visiting lutheracademy.com. LutherAcademy.com.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking about the movie Bros with Pastor Ted Geese. He teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled The Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. Ted, I did notice something, and it, not that there's a one-for-one correlation between skin color and sexual orientation. I don't want to go down that rabbit hole, but we recently talked and reviewed the movie Nope, which had a largely African-American cast. It was both written and directed by a very talented African-American director. And I don't recall him either before or after the movie coming out saying something like, if you don't see this movie, you're a racist. Although Eichner has clearly before and after the movie repeatedly said that if you don't see his movie, you have to be a homophobe.
No, that wasn't part of what that film was doing in the media or in the Twitterverse or whatever. Like, that's not part of what was going on with that movie. He did come out and he did talk about the fact that, you know, like, he wanted to make movies with African American actors and stuff in it. And he does, and he has done. So this is Jordan Peele. He also did Us and he did Get Out. But the film itself didn't even have an all African American cast either. And it wasn't like this sort of thing where the villains were all of European descent and the good guys were all African Americans or something like that, which is more the case in another film, which I have not actually watched either, but called The Woman King, which came out recently, in which, again, this is part of the conversation, this idea that, well, if you don't come out and support this film, then this is showing some kind of racism-related problem that you might have as a film goer. And just to kind of put this into a perspective, and I think maybe this is kind of where you're going with all of this, is that you could also use the example, there was a movie from forever ago called Sophie's Choice with Meryl Streep, or even a movie like Schindler's List, in which when those movies came out, there wasn't like this vitriol about, like, if you don't go see that movie, you're an anti-Semite. This is all kind of hyperbolic and charged stuff. So let's take a step further back a little bit and look at a broader kind of way of thinking about this. Think back to the movie Luther from 2003, right? So this is this Eric Till film. Many of the listeners will have seen this film. Joseph Fiennes, Bruno Ganz, Peter Ustinov in it. When that movie came out, in advance of the movie coming out, or like on the opening weekend, you did not have Eric Till come out in the media and say, if you don't go see this movie, you're anti-Lutheran. And directing it to, I don't know, Roman Catholics. Like, half of all Christians are Roman Catholics. So if you were to say, listen, all you Roman Catholics, if you don't come see this movie and support it, you're like against Lutheranism, right? This wasn't part of the conversation. And I think there's something that Hollywood needs to learn, I guess, hopefully maybe they'll learn with a movie like this, is that just because you make it, this is the anti-Field of Dreams view of things. Build it and they will come. Right. This is the Field of Dreams, Kevin Costner, kind of James Earl Jones kind of idea that seeped into a lot of things, by the way, this idea, build it and they will come. Just because somebody builds something doesn't mean everyone has to come. Like, just because you make the movie doesn't mean everybody has to go to it. There are going to be movies that will not be interesting to everybody. So this film, though, one of the things that's very important with this Bros film, and like, you can go in, there's tools to look at all of the details for this. So it had a wide release. So a wide release means that it started out in 3,350 theaters across North America.
That's big.
That's a big opening, right? So when you crunch the numbers a little bit, essentially it kind of would average out to about 20 people per show in the theater. That's the way it actually kind of crunches. And when it came out, like, it opened on the Friday, I guess the previous day too, like September 30th. So the 29th, it opened kind of in limited release. And then by the 30th, it was in that 3,350 theaters. It ranked number 4 out of the top 10. And by October 9th, it's now down at ranking number 8 in the top 10. And just for fun, in that same time period, Top Gun is in the top 10 still. Top Gun Maverick is in the top 10 still. That movie came out forever ago. So it was the last week. It actually went up one. So the previous week when Bros was 4 in the top 10. It was 10 in the top 10. And now this week, it's 9 in the top 10. It climbed back up again. And when we were deciding what movie to go see recently, that's the movie I went to see with my wife, Michelle, is Top Gun Maverick. We had all of the other films we could pick from, including Bros as well. And this is the one we chose to see. And I think that that's something that Hollywood, if they really want to be about making money, right? If that's the thing, if profit is in the driver's seat and not ideology, then they're going to have to take stock of this.
Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. We're talking about the movie Bros. On the other side, Billy Eichner, who is the star and the writer of Bros, took to social media when it became clear that his movie was going to have a bad opening weekend. We'll find out what he said and what he's continuing to say after this.
Your comprehensive source for information, teaching, and truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Is there a difference between what different Christian denominations teach? Or is Lutheran, for example, just the flavor of Christianity that you prefer to put in your religious ice cream cone? Is there more to what we believe, teach, and confess? Well, the October issue of the Lutheran Witness took up this very question. What is the difference between Lutheranism and other Christian denominations? To pick up your copy, visit cph.org/witness or visit our website, witness.lcms.org. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
God isn't going to leave you floating around like a beam of light or something with no body and no experience of the physical world. This would be to undo the very good work of creation he did in making you. Instead, Jesus is returning so that you will be reunited, body and soul, to live in community with the other whole, body and soul, people. It's a little bit from the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Confessing Jesus, The Heart of Being a Lutheran. You can find out more about this book at our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order Confessing Jesus, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. We're talking about the movie Bros. Pastor Ted Geese is our guest. In about 15 minutes, we'll continue our series with Pastor David Peterson on the difficult sayings of Jesus. So what did writer and star Billy Eichner say on social media after it was clear that he wasn't going to have a good opening weekend?
Yeah, I've got it right here. So this is Billy Eichner. He is the writer and lead actor in the film. He tweeted, this is on the Sunday night of the opening weekend, and I kind of alluded to this, like this kind of way of like, and listen, back when that movie Luther came out in 2003, Twitter wasn't a thing. So this is what he tweeted. So everyone who isn't, and that's in caps, a homophobic weirdo, should go see Bros tonight. You will have a blast. And it is a special and uniquely powerful to see this particular story on a big screen, especially for queer folk who don't get this opportunity often. I love this movie so much. Go Bros. Heart, rainbow, Billy Eichner. I came across something, I don't have it in front of me, but they did one of these kind of audits of television and media, and I think it was done in the UK about American television and media, and they said that the LGBTQ community, quote unquote community, is represented 16% of all depictions of people in television and film and stuff in North America. 16% are part of that LGBTQ. That has an impact on what people think in terms of the actual numbers of how many people would self-identify as that. But that number is super high. It's way higher than it actually is. So if they're not paying attention, like this is a niche film, and the niche film is going to be interesting to the audience to which it's being presented to or sold to. And let's say if you're a gay man, maybe you'd be interested in going to see Bros. that's a very small number in the grand scheme of things in North America. So if that's your core key audience, maybe you make a smaller film. Maybe your budget's like $2 million and you spend like maybe $2 or $3 million on advertising and you put it on the art house circuit and you put it on the festival circuit. You do that kind of thing. That might be the way to go. And every once in a while, a film like that is going to break through, right? And become something that other people might be interested in seeing. So, for instance, there was that Australian movie, The Adventures of Priscilla, Queen of the Desert from 1994. That one got a little bit of traction beyond its core audience. They had a one that came out the next year, which is kind of an Americanized version of it, To Wong Fu, Thanks for Everything, Julie Newmar, starring Wesley Snipes, Patrick Swayze, and John Leguizamo. That, again, kind of got into the zeitgeist. There was a movie called The Birdcage from 1996, with Robin Williams and Nathan Lane, for instance. And that's based on I think it's a French one called La Cage aux Folies that they remade. Again, this kind of a thing. So sometimes these movies, some people will end up going to see them, but they kind of have to be for that main audience and then break into a bigger audience. You can't assume that the bigger audience is there for the film right from the start. Right? Like maybe that Luther film comes out in 2003 and every Roman Catholic and their dog all wants to go see it for some reason. And it breaks through to the wider audience, you know, in a big, big way. Maybe that happens, but you can't bank on that happening. And I think also, like I was talking about that 16% of on-air personalities or like characters and stuff in TV shows and things like that or movies are from that LGBTQ community. It seems like everything you watch, there has to have something in there. And I think a lot of people tolerate a certain amount of it because they're interested in the main thing that they're trying to watch. So we had alluded to the fact that that you and I both have been watching Only Murders in the Building, which is on Disney Plus, right? I finished season two. And in season two, now they have an LGBTQ related storyline. So they have a lesbian relationship in the show. Am I watching it because that's there? Or am I tolerating it being there? I mean, how did you feel about that when one of the central characters suddenly in the show that you've already watched for a season and now all of a sudden this is part of it? What did you think about that?
I mean, I thought in terms of the plot they were putting together, it ultimately made sense, I have to admit. But without a spoiler as to how that turned out. But when there was the first kissing scene, I thought it was kind of gratuitous and unnecessary. They had a great thing going, and they didn't need to inject that in there.
I think that, and again, this kind of goes into that area of kind of tolerating something, right? And the question is, at what point do you check out as a viewer? Or you say, I'm not putting my money there anymore. And I know that this happens. So for instance, and I don't want to conflate things here, but like there will be things that are too much. It's a bridge too far. So lots of people did not like Netflix putting out that movie Cuties on their platform, and they canceled their subscriptions. Lots of people did that. And we've talked about this before at different times. This is all voluntary. You go see the movies you want to see. You don't have to be dragged to things that you don't want to see. Like, you pick and choose, right? For instance, the top 10 currently, the top 10 film is a movie called Smile, which is a horror film. And it's actually profitable at this point. I think it was made for $17 million or something like that. It's already grossed in 2 weeks, 50 plus million. Now, it's October, so it's spooky season, and you know, it's not unusual that a horror film would be in the top 10. I'm not super interested in seeing that. Lyle Crocodile is the second highest grossing film right now. I'm not super interested in seeing that. It's a kid's movie. Interestingly, there's this movie called Amsterdam that just came out. And Amsterdam is, I believe, a David O. Russell film. And David O. Russell is one of these directors that I'm not interested in it anymore. When I was talking about that list of the top grossing rom-com movies, one of them was Silver Linings Playbook, which is Jennifer Lawrence is in that. And that was one where by the time I got finished watching that movie, it dawned on me. I'm like, you don't like this director. I don't really necessarily need to go see more of his movies. And what was going on, like there's another one of his films, I think it was called American Made, I think it was. And Bradley Cooper was in that, and he was also in Silver Linings Playbook. And I was starting to think that I didn't like Bradley Cooper. It's, you don't dislike Bradley Cooper. You don't like David O. Russell. So when this movie Amsterdam, the trailer came up, I was like, oh, that looks kind of interesting. I looked it up and I'm like, oh, that's David O. Russell. I'm not going to go see it.
So it's billed as a romantic comedy. And to me, that immediately sounded tragically ironic because the gay lifestyle isn't about romance. It isn't. It's about casual sex. And I'm just wondering if they tried to do something that can't be done, even credibly, in gay culture.
I think that, like, listen, if that's what you're all about, and that is going to be a big part of that culture, as it were. I remember, like, you know, I have a bachelor's degree in fine art. You mention it all the time. I'm like, I worked at, like, on the board of directors for an art gallery at one point. I distinctly remember a conversation where there was a bunch of people all together, and I realized there was very few straight people in the mix. And the older gay men and the younger gay men were having a conversation about looking to try to get marriage equality, right? And the older gay men were like, we don't want this. That's the heterosexualization of gay culture. Like, what am I supposed to have? Like a little house and like a husband and a white picket fence and like a dog in the yard and 2.5 kids. The LGBTQ community, it does the best when it's presented to straight people as not different from straight people. Right now, and that isn't to say that heterosexuality isn't broken and that the sixth commandment somehow magically doesn't apply to people who are heterosexual. Brokenness happens everywhere, and actually that whole LGBTQ spectrum is just another form of brokenness within heterosexuality. I know this is super not popular to say, but when you realize that it's not really the same as your general kind of heterosexual relationship is intended to be, it's not maybe going to connect with everybody. Or essentially, it's not going to connect with your main audience that you're shooting for. And I think this is one of the main reasons why a film like Bros is not going to succeed, in addition to the fact that it is very hostile. Like, that trailer is hostile towards your average heterosexual. Now, the additional thing, now there was something in that trailer where it talked about, I was more comfortable when straight people weren't so accepting of gay sex, kind of a thing, right? And it's like these little kids, they're doing this little, the quote-unquote bum-bum dance or whatever, right? So if you look at the synopsis of what actually happens, and so spoiler alerts, now again, disclaimer, I did not see the film, but they talked about in the trailer how Abraham Lincoln was gay, right? Which, listen, I don't think Abraham Lincoln was gay. I'm pretty positive that that wasn't the case. But there's this subplot of this LGBTQ museum or something of history, or a history museum. Well, one of the things that happens in the course of the film, if you follow the synopsis, is that a friend of his is a grade 2 teacher or whatever, and the third act involves getting the grade 2 kids to the LGBTQ history museum so they can see this big display that's presented. So this falls right into criticism about everything that was going on in Florida. This is not just a comedy. This is also has political commentary going on in it. So this is all like super interesting things. And I think that like people who are interested in this, I'm going to recommend you go to IMDb. So this is the Internet Movie Database, and look up the movie Bros and start looking at the other film projects and television projects that the director So this Nicholas Stoller has been involved in some of them with this Billy Eichner as well, because the weird thing is lots of these movies that they were written for or have been involved in directing or producing, a lot of these movies are kids' movies. And they're kids' movies that like that maybe you've seen with your grandkids, maybe you've seen with your kids. And it's just an interesting detail. I don't know like what that all adds up to, and I don't want to get into some sort of big thing about that. I just like it's surprisingly unusual to me personally. So I wasn't that interested in seeing it. I'm less interested in seeing it now. And that isn't to say that I haven't seen things along the way. But just remember, what does St. Paul say? Like St. Paul in 1 Corinthians says, all things are lawful, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful, but not all things build up. So let no one seek his own good, but the good of his neighbor. And then this is in the context of having a mixed confession of faith, or it's also in the context of, you know, meat, you know, sold in the marketplace that had been sacrificed to idols. And it's about the conscience. And it's also about at what point are you damaging the conscience of somebody else? So there are times, dear listener, where I will take one for the team and I'll see something and then we'll talk about it and we'll get into it. Like The Green Knight was one that I found very unpleasant in the end by the time I'd finished watching it. And this one I didn't take for the team, but I'm telling you, you're free not to see things. If you don't want to see it, you don't have to see it. Like in the top 10, there was another horror film called Terrifier 2. Well, guess what? I'm going to guess you're probably not that interested in that. There may be some horror fans out there that are interested in it, but I'm not interested in it. It's like about a possessed clown or something. So like you're going to come across things that you don't want to see, and it's okay not to go to something if you don't want to see it.
Pastor Ted Geese has a bachelor's degree in fine arts. He is pastor of Mount Olive Lutheran Church in Regina, Saskatchewan, Canada, and he teaches a course for Concordia Lutheran Theological Seminary titled A Lutheran Approach to Art, Media, and Film. You can read his movie reviews on the Talk on Demand Archives page at issuesetc.org. Ted, thanks.
Thank you.
Pastor David Peterson joins us on the other side. We're going to be continuing a series with him on the difficult sayings of Jesus. We'll be in Matthew chapter 5, Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus talks about lust, divorce, and oaths.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we conclude 1 Thessalonians with at peace, the will of God, benediction, and closing. Then we move into 2 Thessalonians with greeting and thanksgiving and judgment at Christ's appearing. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
How does Jesus define the Christian's identity? Find out in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for October, Confessing Jesus, the Heart of Being a Lutheran. This new book is published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or look for Confessing Jesus at our website, issuesetc.org. Confessing Jesus, the Heart of Being a Lutheran, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, 1-800-325-3040, or issuesetc.org.
Defending the faith, teaching the truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service.
Our church loves and is grateful for those that serve our country. Operation Barnabas, part of Ministry to the Armed Forces, equips you to reach out to veterans in your community to bring Christ to those that served. Call Ministry to the Armed Forces at 314-996-1337 or email lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
God bless our military.
Memoria Press is a family-run publisher of classical Christian education materials for homeschools and private schools. Every page of the Memoria Press curriculum leads students to a mastery of content, an understanding of the classical heritage of the Christian West, and an appreciation of truth, goodness, and beauty. If you're interested in learning more, visit memoriapress.com and use the coupon code LPR23. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time. memoriapress.com.